Everything about Jesus Christ, from who he was as the son of a carpenter born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth, to what he did and what he said, turned the ideas and the customs and the beliefs of this world upside down. To enter into a relationship with him, even today, means the same thing will happen. God has shown no interest whatsoever in power, influence, or great wealth. God has not shown much interest in what is big or important by our judgments either. Great and powerful Rome, beautiful and wealthy Jerusalem, kings, high priests, Caesars, tetrarchs, they're of no interest to God, no use to God. For all their glory, they are nothing. Nothing today but ruins. Piles of stone stared at and photographed from the windows of tour buses driving by. God's not there and never was. Those who seek God are likely going to have more success finding him at the foot of the cross, or in a homeless shelter, or in a nursing home, where a widow may sit and wait for someone who never comes. Those who seek God might try looking among hungry, frightened children, homeless because of some senseless war, or among single mothers or fathers in line for food stamps after cleaning rooms in some fine resort hotel. We are soon going to tell the story of wise men who made a mistake of looking for God in fine Jerusalem at the powerful, elegant court of Herod. It's the first hint that something is changing and God has a different plan. God's plans begins with a single mother and continues in a little town that amounts to nothing. God's message is announced first to laborers in a field. We call them shepherds. They just as well have been farm workers picking tomatoes or chopping cotton. God's plan makes the first family homeless refugees fleeing the violence that kills children. God's plan is finally put into action by a bunch of not very smart and not very dependable fishermen, with a tax collector thrown in besides. God's plan is announced in Galilee, and of all places, in Samaria, long before it gets to Jerusalem and to Rome. God's plan gathers in the sick, prostitutes, the blind, the lame, the mentally ill, or the possessed, as they called them in those days, lepers, women, and even the dead. There is no exclusion, there's no privilege or special people in God's plan. In the story of salvation, the beginning of which we celebrate on Friday, it starts with a little child entrusted to a young woman and a courageous young man in a tiny little place that meant nothing to the big and powerful of this world. When that young girl began to realize what was happening, she ran to an old lady who had been barren. She ran there to share the good news, and together they rejoiced in the discovery of God's odd and strange plan. The Messiah was entrusted to the most vulnerable of people in the most vulnerable of ways, so that God's glory and God's love and God's salvation would not overwhelm us, but rather accompany us in our weakness, in our smallness, and our powerlessness, in order to reach us and to teach us the value of every human life. For some, it might seem like a crazy plan, doomed to failure, but it's how God chose to come. Please note, God chose to come. It was not forced upon God, and there might have been any other kind of ways for God to do it, but God chose this way. Coming to grips with this plan suggests that going for the biggest package under the tree is a signal that the plan is either not understood or not welcome. Born as a little one, Christ embraces all the little people of this world, and the littleness in us that sometimes haunts our days and nights. Vulnerable and helpless, God embraces and shares our helplessness and our vulnerability. No one's too small. No one's too poor, too helpless, or too insignificant to escape the presence and the company of God in Jesus Christ. No one who is misunderstood, betrayed by friends, or who suffers too much pain is out